I'm reading from verses 17 and 18. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." Lord, we beg that you will quiet every activity this hour, and that the activity of listeners would be given to the hearing and to the listening of your word. We pray that you will even quiet the enemy from disturbing any of our people, to distract them and to distract others from hearing your word. Come by your power and by your spirit and help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the course of the past month, we have taken a detour to bring a series of evangelistic sermons in our morning worship service deliberately. Today, I will bring a final message from the Gospel of Luke, showing what I have entitled the message today, "A Great Disparity." When we consider the mercies extended over the past months and over our lives, when we consider these mercies from the hand of our Lord to all men, those who respond in adoration, love, and worship to him are but few, a remnant, a trickle, so to speak. This is what the message of the cleansing of the 10 lepers revealed to us. Only Luke records this historical event. We also see in this account another display of the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ in administering his saving grace in the lives of whom he pleases. Each gospel writer has a different perspective of the Lord Jesus and his earthly ministry. Luke, as many of us know, was not an eyewitness of Jesus. We never saw him. Each gospel writer has a different perspective. Luke received his information from a secondary source. We will not speculate who that human source was, but what is recorded is the word of God to man. Luke, because of his occupation, and we don't make a big deal of that either, paid attention to many acts of mercy performed by Jesus, because you see his life coming out in what he's interested in. When we analyze Luke carefully, you may observe that he pays close attention to Jesus relating to particular classes of people more so than the other narratives. Frequently, we read of the Lord's interactions with strangers, publicans, harlots, sinners, Samaritans. Once he visited the house of a Pharisee, and a woman came and anointed him and worshipped him. The Pharisee spoke within himself, saying, "This man, if he was a prophet, would know the kind of woman this was." That's our Savior. In Luke 15, 1 and 2, many publicans came and sat and ate with him. And the religious establishment accused him of being a friend of publicans and harlots or sinners. The two is always grouped together. You see, Luke, being a Gentile himself, paid particular attention to the Lord's dealings with Gentiles. You can read this throughout Luke. He was called the Son of Man. He identified with sinners. All of the Lord's miracles were signs, Simeon, the Greek word, directing us to the nature of salvation. Jesus did not perform miracles to flex his divine attributes or to flaunt his power over sickness, but to show that he is the giver of life and all that pertains to life and happiness. Jesus. The context shows Jesus passing through the midst of Samaria and Galilee and met 10 men who were lepers. They heard of Jesus. There may have been a leprosy camp nearby, because you don't find 10 lepers roaming the street. They cried for mercy. The Lord commanded these men to show themselves to the priests. It showed that the Lord Jesus was not a lawbreaker. He observed the law. And you and I should take note of this. Go and show yourself to the priests. It was a requirement in the Old Testament. As they were going, they were cleansed. The spoken word and the power of the spoken word cleansed these men without a touch. He did that. But very surprisingly, only one turned back and acknowledged the Lord for who he is. The other 9 continued their old way of life. This one is a pointed picture of the sinner who became saved. Could it be that there are many here that are represented by the 9? This is the parable, or this is the actual historical account. Now, the context of Luke 17:11-19 is interconnected with verses 5, 6, and on. And to properly understand the account with the lepers, one must first analyze the words of Jesus in these foregoing verses. The apostles asked the Lord to increase their faith, to strengthen their faith. Now, this ought to be your prayer and my prayer, God's people. The Lord, in turn, hearing this, spoke a parable. Listen to these words from verse 5 of Luke chapter 17. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. And then he speaks this parable. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat. Go and sit down and eat. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me first, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Now understand this. What Jesus is saying is very pragmatic. If you had a servant who did as he was commanded, its duties in the field. I don't think many of us are fortunate to have servants. But when this servant come into the house, would you say to him, go and sit down and relax and eat. Go in the fridge and take out what you want and eat. Or would you not say to that servant, serve me first. And then after serving me, have your meal. The Lord said in verse 9 and 10, does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I don't think so. So likewise, you, when you have done those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Now, this is the backdrop. This is what leads up to this message of the cleansing of the lepers. Sometimes a passage, and I often tell you men that, before sheds light on what comes after. And here we see much light shed on these 10 lepers. It leads to this practical message of the cleansing of the lepers. Only one demonstrated true faith in doing what he was supposed to do. What he did was what he's supposed to do. Come back and worship God. Give glory to God. Jesus said his faith was the cause of his action. Jesus gave him that faith. Now notice with me the following heads in the historical setting of our context. I haven't shown you the background of the setting. Let me give you the historical setting. Notice first how purposeful Jesus is in his movements. I trust you have this outline written, but that outline is for you to help yourself with your notepad to follow me. And you should have one. Notice how purposeful Jesus is in his movements. Verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now some of us know that this is a very strange route Jesus is taking. We know Jesus went around. The Jews normally go around Samaria. The normal road in traveling from the north to Jerusalem was to first pass through Galilee. Our Lord purposefully did not do this. Luke records that Jesus passed through the midst of Samaria. It could be that Jesus walked around the outskirts and went into Samaria. But this is not by chance. The Lord is very purposeful in his movements. You may remember he did something similar in John chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, when he left Judea and departed into Galilee, and he must need go through Samaria. Why was he doing that? The Lord does not operate like you and me by chance, arbitrarily. He is deliberate in his movements and his actions. He said to Nicodemus, the wind blows where it wills. You can hear the song, but you don't know where it is coming from or where it is going. So is everyone that is born again. I want us to know that you and I are not under the hearing of my voice this morning, hearing this word by accident. Somebody may have brought you here. It's not an accident. The Lord operates very deliberately, very purposefully in the lives of people, especially those who are in church. Here in our account, the Lord is about to do something among these 10 men. there was one there that will become a worshiper of the true God. I want you to notice, secondly, how common men's problems are in this life. The Bible tells us in verse 12, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." You know, 10 is a complete number in the Bible. There were 10 virgins. There were 10 lepers. There were 10 commandments. 10 is often used as a complete number. Now, Jews and Samaritans never lived together. They were not friends. But here they were together in company. And you know, sin loves company. There are certain people that would never become my friends in the church. I don't know why. But misery loves company. Here there were 10 outcasts in this village that stood afar off. Leviticus 13:46. God required that lepers must dwell alone. We call it today quarantine, a word that I have become to hate. Outside the camp, back in those days, there were no known cure for leprosy. Leprosy in the Bible is mainly a picture of sin. Why? Because it was contagious. It was to be dealt with only by the priests. Sin can only be cleansed by Jesus, the high priest. Leprosy isolated men from fellowship. They could not worship. The 10 lepers stood afar off. Sin isolates us from the community of the saints. And we see these pictures, God's people. It is not hard to see what message is being taught in Luke's narrative. Sin is the common problem men face, all men. Verse 13, "And they lifted up their voices collectively and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" Notice they use the plural, all of them. These words are quite instructional. These men recognize a felt need. This is the first step to one being help when in physical distress. If one cannot admit that they have a sickness, they will not be relieved from that sickness. A lot of people like to live in denial. Remember, people keep telling me, "Oh, you got acid reflux." Oh, that's acid reflux. I said, "Let me go to the cardiologist." Acid reflux, 2 blocked arteries. Don't listen to people who diagnose you, Charlie. Always go and get the right diagnosis. I would have died treating myself for acid reflux. And some people will perish treating themselves, thinking they're safe. Same is true spiritually. If you and I think that we are spiritually healthy, it is because of 2 things. One, we are living in denial, or God has not given us an awareness of our sickness. If he has, we ought to do like these 10. Have mercy. Have mercy on us, Lord Jesus. Paul says, "For if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost." in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. We all share in this common problem this morning, like these 10. This is the third point I call to your attention. Notice how scarce men are in giving due praise and thanks to God. Oh yeah, man, we say praise God, thank you, Jesus. But I'm not talking about that. I am talking about what praising and thanking God really is. This is the disparity today in this world and in many churches. Luke, bring one of these 10 men to attention. Not five, not even two, but one. And one of them, 15 and 16, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. Some other version says that he was a foreigner. But both spiritual and moral lessons are taught here, brethren. One, those 9 lepers who enjoy the mercy of the Lord are like those in Israel who were content to follow the letter of the law but had no love for Jesus. Obedience should be with the right motive. We obey him because we love him. Once again, we see the ineffectiveness of the ceremonial law. The 9 lepers were content to obey the law and show themselves to the priest. By the way, before they got to the priest, they were cleansed. But they never show any loyalty or love to the great high priest. They represent the majority in the nation of Israel at that time and also now. And the prophet Isaiah said it correctly. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand by the seashore, a remnant shall be saved. But this can be true of many in the church today. As a matter of fact, this is what it is in churches and congregations. Paul warned us not to boast in our numbers. Among those numbers receiving at the Lord's hand, there is a great disparity among those who hear and among those who have truly repented. Let us bring this home in our backyards. People can do the things they are asked to do, and they can forget the one that gives them the strength to do the things they're asked to do. This one that returned is likened to the small remnant that saw the value of Christ, or like Peter says, brother, that sees the preciousness of Jesus. And here you have it again, another exposition of your text. But there's a moral lesson here as well. We all are quick to partake of God's mercies. Many will pray and ask for prayer when in distress. But few are ready to abandon their way of life when they are up and running. Just watch it. The same crowd that was begging for help is this same crowd that don't want to see a church door. Too many are ready to receive the goodness of God, but too many want the Lord to have nothing to do with their lives. Men love the gifts, but want nothing to do with the giver of those gifts. So this is a deep lesson. When it comes to foregoing time as this one day and sacrificing to truly praise and give thanks to God for his grace, there's a great disparity among men. I hope that you are like this one who turned back. But I have to be realistic. There are three interesting things to observe in this solitary figure that returned to give thanks. Let's notice them quickly. A, we see his perception of Christ, verse 15. We look at the text in verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He glorified God. He saw Christ. This one, leper, perceived something. The other nine did not. The Bible says that as the 10 lepers were going to the priest, they were cleansed. This is the common mercy that these men receive. But Luke, notice Luke did not use the same word in relationship to the one who returned. Verse 15 says, and one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back. This word heal is the word iomaya. It is not the word therapeuo. Therapeuo, we get the English word therapeutic from therapeuo. But therapeuo means physical healing. But this word, you can check out your interlinear, has to do with spiritual healing. It's associated with salvation. This man received something from the hand of Jesus that the others didn't. He did not simply receive an external cleansing. He received an internal grace. And Peter uses this word saying in 1 Peter 2:24 and 25, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripe you are, here's the word again, heal. For we were as sheep going astray, the 10, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Here Peter is inferring a spiritual healing. In fact, this one recognized something that the others did not. He saw the Lord Jesus as the great high priest, one who was superior than the other earthly priests. And he didn't even bother to go to that priest. Went back to the real priest, Christ. God put it here like that for you and me. He went to the superior priest. And the Lord marveled, because he obtained a greater priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost them that come to God through him. Here is this guy acting out what salvation is. This is the implication seen in the action of this one. To turn back in the Bible is language that doesn't mean to turn back geographically. Oh, yes, he did that. But to turn back is equivalent to repenting. As a matter of fact, the word return is used in Jeremiah to mean repent. The prophet Isaiah 55, you're very familiar with that verse, 55 verses 6 and 7. If you want to turn there with me, you can turn there, 55, 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him. And to our God. he will abundantly pardon. That's what this one is doing. He's returning. He's forsaken his way. Have you forsaken your way of life? Have you forsaken the old? I don't know. I'm just asking. During the days of Jeremiah, God brought an indictment against the prophets because of their compromised message. Jeremiah said they were not calling their hearers to repentance. He said the prophets walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Today, there are men standing in pulpits that are telling people what they want to hear and not what they need to hear. Don't think I will be a popular preacher. That's what they were doing in Jeremiah's days. Read Jeremiah 23. To turn back in the Bible means more than making a geographical turn around. It is a synonym used to describe repentance. In the spiritual application, this one leper had a new perception of himself. He not only saw himself to be a leper, he saw himself to be a sinner. Went back to the priest and fell down and worshiped him. We see, secondly, not only this new perception, we see a felt obligation. Verse 15 part B says, and 16, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. This obeisance that he's doing is an act of worship. He felt an obligation not only to give thanks, but to give glory to God. By the way, that's the duty that Jesus was talking about, of all men, to give glory to God. Some people think that they're doing God a big favor by coming and sitting down for an hour. We should sit down for 12. And I mean it. And I'm not hard. Glorifying God entails worship. This one fell on his face at his feet. His actions were spontaneous, having received grace. He had a felt obligation. And that's why Luke emphasizes this solitary figure in this great disparity. But we see a third thing. The Bible says he was a stranger. The Lord said in verse 17 and 18, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found to give glory, save this stranger. The one who returned to give thanks was a stranger. Now, this was a blow to Jewish pride. It was a big blow. This one knew he was a stranger. But there's a second way to understand the words of our Lord in the Bible. Before a person experiences the goodness of salvation, they are strangers. We are strangers to the covenants. We are strangers to grace. We are strangers to God. He has disowned us. I hope you understand that. The religious Jews were accustomed to mercy. They thought they were entitled, like the 9. They were wrong. Dead wrong. We are not entitled to anything from the hand of God. It's grace. It obliges us to turn back. No one deserves mercy. We deserve to be left as lepers. The Bible says that we were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But wonderfully, Titus says, but after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works, righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by anointing us, by cleansing us, not from leprosy. Put us in the right standing before him. That's how we can come back, therefore. That's how we can draw near. I want this mic because I like to move around and saddle here like I working at CNN with this thing. So in Luke 17, the message is much more than Jesus cleansing 10 men who were lepers and one turning back to get. Oh, we like that. Oh, that's a nice story of Jesus' compassion. It's only a moral aspect of the context. It's a message showing what free grace is and what those who receive free grace will do. It busts the door wide open in the church to show you where you stand before God. And that's what the preacher has to do. Lest he's healing the womb of the daughter of Jerusalem slightly. The only thing and the one thing that is clear in this message is that common mercies are extended to all. We see this in the text. The 10 lepers cried for mercy. They received mercy. Today, no one wants to be sick and in disease. Just look outside, just look around, and you see people. People are busy protecting their physical lives. That's what they're all about. Nobody, and God ultimately is who doing that, protecting them. Whenever there is sickness and oppression, men cry for mercy. It is because that the Lord's mercies are new every morning. The people in India are crying for mercy. The city of New York just sent a barrage of medical supplies for them. The world will respond to their own. The politicians would respond to people's physical needs. The pastor must respond to your spiritual needs. I ain't sending no syringes nowhere. I have better syringes. Common mercies are extended to all. The privilege of attending a church gathering such as this one, hearing the gospel explained and proclaimed, is a common mercy. In some countries, people have to meet underground. Pastor John, when he goes to these places in China, has to lay down on the back seat of the car that nobody see him. Dale Anderson, when he used to travel to Zimbabwe with me, had to lay down on the back seat going into some deep rural villages. But he went to carry the gospel. Others that I know have to share a Bible for a week at a time. We hear the gospel in our comfort. All 10 lepers heard the word of God from the lips of Jesus. Go show yourself to the... That was the word of God. So the first insightful truth seen is that the 10 represents the whole. Common mercies are extended to all under the hearing of the gospel. The next important spiritual lesson seen in this context is saving grace will be acknowledged by few. One out of 10 is 10%, if my mathematics, right, Tyler? That's correct. One out of 10 is 10%. I don't think you know. When we look at the masses, brethren, in the world, when we see the crowds that gather to worship, only a remnant will be saved. It's a sad reality. Preachers would like to see a large in gathering of souls. We want to see that. But the Bible says only a remnant will return. The days where we hear, oh, the whole congregation are born again. That's a figment of man's imagination. Boy, he is negative. Read Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11 again. Let's be realistic, brethren. When we consider the many who hear the Lord's voice, there's a great disparity in people truly turning to the Lord Jesus. Look at your church where you are. I hope you and I are among the few. Paul said to the Corinthians, for you see your calling, brethren. Not many mighty, not many noble, not many rich. God have chosen the foolish things. I often have to correct that. It doesn't say God have chosen the foolish people. Because I am foolish. The foolish things, the cleansing of the leper, the word of God is considered foolish. The preachers who preach the word of God considered foolish. The message they preach, the cross, foolish things. Don't expect large crowds today. Don't expect any mass conversions. If you are a faithful servant, you will be disappointed. Jesus was not caught by surprise when he asked the question, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? He's emphasizing this. He knew where they were. He knew where the 9 were. He is all-knowing. He said, they are not found that return to give glory to God except this friend. They are not found can be understood. That they're not saved. They're still lost. Only one was found. Turn back. He knew. I don't think he was caught by surprise. I don't think he was mourning and groaning and complaining. But I healed 10. What happened? He knew. He's eternal God. But he's concerned. He's making this statement out of concern. Were there not 10 that receive at my hand? It was a telling rebuke to the religious establishment in those days. It's a telling rebuke to men today. So therefore, brethren, let us not look at this famous passage of Scripture as a mere act of compassion by Jesus on the needy. Let us see it for what it is. It shows us a great disparity which exists today because common mercies are extended to all men. Not all will recognize saving grace. Not all would return and give glory to God. It's a rare commodity, typified by one. But there's one last thing I want to close with. And that is, the Lord Jesus will commend the least of the apostles, or the least of sinners. Verse 19 says, he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith have made thee whole. The Lord sees the smallest of faith demonstrated by his elect. Why is this so? Because it is he who gives that faith. He sees our feeble attempts to worship him. It was not the leper's faith. It was the faith of the Lord Jesus that was imputed to him. When the Lord said to him, go show yourself to him, he took that seriously. This is God speaking. Doesn't depend if one is a Jew or a Samaritan. Doesn't depend if we grow up in New York or Timbuktu. The same Lord is rich to forgive all that call upon him. He who grants faith will see genuine faith and reward us openly, like he did this one. Today, brethren, as I conclude, the Lord is purposeful in his movements. The Lord kept us here for a year without going anywhere. That is his purpose. You and I are here because of his purpose. Don't let this occasion slip. He is passing through the pews. Today, we all have a common problem. We can hide them as much as we want. But occasionally, it fleshes out. Some have seen their problem and cried for mercy. The Apostle Paul saw his problem and said, O wretched man that I am, who would deliver me from this bond of corruption? Even when a person becomes saved, they see how wretched they are. They're still full of problems. Sin. We need to cry to the great physician. And when he answers, when he releases us from that terrible lust, and that pride, and that arrogance, bow. He's purposeful. He brought you here, Nigel, to answer those questions for Depo. Some have seen and fled. Today you can become part of that remnant. Don't say, well, there ain't no chance for me, 10%. No, don't take that literal. You can become part. When you look at the vast multitude attending church, a remnant. You can be a part of that. It begins When you do as this one, he turned back. He came to Jesus. This is the only way you can glorify God, by coming to Jesus. God is deserving of glory, all glory. This ought to be your felt sense of obligation to worship Him. All that we are because of Him. Lastly, we all should see that without Him, we are still strangers. He has disowned us. The Lord sees the least of sinners. This one was a stranger to the covenants, but was brought near by Christ. But may you be reminded that He also sees those who are continuing denying on their path. He says they are not found. They're not found to give glory to God. The Lord did not ask this question because He needed information, but to teach us something. He knew where they were, but He asked this question for us today to consider where we are in relationship to Him. Are we found? May the Lord write these words on our hearts today. I leave them with you. Let's pray. Our Father, help us to express thanks to Thee for Your great love and mercy to us. Enable us not to be a part of the crowd, the herd, enjoying the blessings and running with them. Help us not to be as those who receive at Your hand day by day. We are told the goodness of God leads to repentance, a changed mind, and a changed heart. We pray that You will give no rest at all to those under the gospel that have not found their rest in Thee. Lord, we pray You will use the words that were spoken. If anything was said amiss, we ask forgiveness. But if anything that was said in accordance with Your will and Your word, we ask that You use it to the glory of Your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.